It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, so she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Then David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. So when they told David, saying, "Uriah did not go down to his house," David said to Uriah, "Did you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house?" And Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Wait here today also, and tomorrow I will let you depart." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now when David called him, he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'll tell you, when I was given the opportunity to preach this Sunday, I went, "Yay! I kind of like talking about God and God's goodness and God's glory and God's love. And, you know, he loves us even when we're hot messes. I love talking about that stuff." So I went to the lectionary, because I'm a lectionary preacher. And on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost, this was the scripture. And I went, "Are you kidding me, God?" It is a scripture that's hard. I like to think about David the shepherd. Anybody else in here like to think about David the shepherd? Now, I say this to you realizing that I'm doing something that I talk to God. I'm on my front porch and I'm talking to God. And I say, "God, anytime I get a chance to preach, I've got to remember everybody doesn't know the stories. Everybody doesn't know the stories. Somebody new coming into this place may not know the story of David, the young boy, the shepherd. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Young boy David, shepherd. I'm going to abbreviate it. I get that because it's a good long story. But when David was young, he completely trusted God. And there was a big battle going, and everybody in the whole world was there. David got sent up by his daddy to take care of the rest of the boys and make sure they had something to eat and drink and all that good stuff. You know how dads are sometimes. And when David gets there, there's this giant named Goliath. And Goliath is bad-mouthing these soldiers and these men of God with stuff that we can't even imagine. with language and verbiage and ugliness. And David is looking around thinking, what in the world is wrong with all you people? We serve God. And God will get us through everything. So, can you imagine that? All these big, big, burly guys in all their armor and all their stuff, and they are quivering at this situation. And here comes this young guy, and he says, what is wrong with you all? Do we or do we not serve God? And I bet they got real uncomfortable. Anybody with me? Do you think they got a little uncomfortable? And guess what he does? He completely relies on God and he slays Goliath, da-da-da-da-da, happily ever after. That's who young David is. And somewhere in the world, he becomes king. There's a long story. It's a beautiful story. By the way, if you don't know it, get your Bible out. You know where your Bible is? Ouch. Sorry, had to do it. It's the mom in me. It's the grandma in me. Anyway. Oh. I have background music. Doesn't that sound like angels interceding? And so, somewhere in the mix, David gets to be told a lot that he's the king and he's actually anointed the king and he becomes the king. And, you know, that was a good start, right? I mean, he trusted God completely. So God said, yeah, this guy's mine. I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to make him the boss. Because human beings don't think God's enough. They got to have a boss. So he becomes this king, and he's going along pretty well, I'm guessing, like kings do. Don't you think most kings do okay? Don't most men in power do okay for themselves? Ay, 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 caramba. He's doing pretty well for himself. So then we hear this piece of scripture, by the way. Thank you, Beverly. That was a lovely reading. I love her voice. And we hear that this is what's going on. There is a battle going on, and David, who used to be part of the battle, used to be part of the guys, he is in his rumpus room. He is in his man cave. He is in his castle. And he goes wandering around in the night. Now, this is a fascinating thing to learn in a class. That the way the city was built was his house was the tallest house. Are you with me? So everybody else was down below. And he knew it. Don't make any mistake. Did you all grow up in vacation Bible school hearing that Bathsheba was such a bad girl and she tempted David? Did anybody ever hear that story? Yeah. That's a perception that we're going to talk a little bit about. Because King David would have known that anybody and everybody, it was hot, they would bathe at night on their rooftops. He would know that. You know, there were a bunch of bathing people out probably at that time, but he happens to let his eye wander to Bathsheba's house. Do you think he did not know where Bathsheba lived? Now, I'm speculating a little bit. I get that, but I don't think I'm too far off. He knew where everybody lived. He certainly would have known where his general's houses was. He knew where she lived. And he looked and he saw her and he wanted her. And considering women were pieces of property in those days, do you think she had much choice when he said, come to my house? So she goes. And he assaults her, if you want to use a sweet word, a kinder word than what he probably really did. Although, you know, he may have made it sound pretty good, looked pretty good, posh place. But yet, that's what happened. Whew. Anybody else uncomfortable in this room right now? King David, God's chosen, became nothing more than a man of power. He wasn't God's guy anymore. Do you think he was God's guy anymore? I think God wanted him to be his guy still. So then he finds out she's with child. And he sends for Uriah. Now, does anybody know what we think was going to happen here? That he thought, if I get Uriah back here and I get him to go down to the house and there's a baby and everybody's going to go, yay, congratulations, Uriah. Way to go, guy. Woo. Am I wrong? What do you think? I kind of think that's where it was heading. It's an interesting thing when people of power think they can do what they want when they want. And this is how, you know, this story, I've often said, I wouldn't have let this story be in the Bible for nothing if I was really a guy and really wanted you to tell how great God, I wouldn't, would you, men? Anyway, and so he sends for Uriah. Uriah comes back and he goes, yippee, this is going to be a great plan. Well, you know what Uriah did. Guess who Uriah was? Uriah was God's guy. He was a God's guy. He just was. And he said, huh, I'm back. I'm not sure why. I wonder if he went, why am I back here? I'm going to get a special mission. I bet. Because I'm so well thought of. The king asked for me specifically. Isn't life interesting? So the day comes. The night comes. And because his men, his soldiers, had no creature comforts, he took no creature comfort. Oh my gosh, can you imagine what David must have thought? Come on, give me your thoughts. No, you don't have to give me your thoughts. He went, oh my good Lord. I don't know if he did that or not. But he had to have thought, jeepers creepers. I thought my plan would work and now it will not. Because he did not go home. And he goes back and forth. He goes back and forth a little bit. And then he does another thing. He sends a note, and he sends it with Uriah. Are you hearing that? He sends it with Uriah to the battleground that they're getting a big battle. And the others are to withdraw, and he will be killed. Wow. Anybody else uncomfortable now? I remain uncomfortable. I just do. Uriah's dead. And I'm sure him being the kind and generous and caring man that he was takes the widow into his house. Whew. Do I sound a little grouchy about this? It's because I am. Thanks. You see, this is an amazing story, and it goes along, and it goes along, and it goes along. David broke every one of the Ten Commandments, every single one of them. If you think about it, we believe the first four have to do with honoring God. Do you think anything he did honored God? And we believe the last six are how you relate to people. You don't kill people. You don't lie. You don't steal. You don't. And one of the big ones is you don't commit adultery. Whew. He got them all. You don't covet. He got every single one of them. Wow. I don't like David right now. I don't like him at all. This is some of the Old Testament that makes me go, oof. I gotta think about this a minute. Because I want to explain this story to a non-believer. I want to explain the significance of all of this to a non-believer. Are you with me? Because that's our job. Everybody sitting in here, that's your job. Live your life. Speak your speak. Tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. Woo! I'm struggling with a little bit, but here's a fun thing. If you keep going, there's a preacher named Nathan. And Nathan says this story. I want you to hear it straight from the book. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. And when Nathan arrived, he said, there were two men in the same city, one rich, one poor. The rich man had a lot of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing, just one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised that lamb, and it grew up with him and his children. It would eat from his food and drink from his cup, even sleep in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to visit the rich man, but he wasn't willing to take anything from his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had arrived. Instead, he took the poor man's ewe and prepared it for the visitor. Ooh. Boy, that Nathan. David got very angry at the man, and he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the one who did this is demonic. He must restore the ewe lamb seven times over because he did this and because he had no compassion. Now, see, that would have been a biblical law in those days. We're still into these Old Testament laws. I want you to hear that because we're in the Old Testament. And Nathan says, you are that man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you from Saul's power. I gave your master's house to you and gave his wives to your embrace. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. If that was too little, I would have given more. Why have you despised the Lord's word by doing what is evil in his eyes? Wow. So that's a powerful man getting called out, which could sort of make me happy. It should make me happy. Shouldn't it make me happy that he got called out? Come on, everybody go, yeah, you should be happy, Marcia. He got called out. It's all the error of his ways. Goes back to the Lord. It still makes me uncomfortable. I'm still a little uncomfortable in this, trying to explain this to a non-believer, why I believe in a God. Who is this God? I was uncomfortable with it to the point that I thought, I'm going to change the scripture. I'm not preaching this scripture today. I'm not doing it. And God said, oh, yes, you are. Dang it. And somehow in this story of brokenness, in this Old Testament scripture story, we're going to be looking for Jesus. Because that's our job. And my comfort level shifted just a little bit when God gave me that. I thought, man, I can preach about people in power and how bad they are. And we got to stop sinning. And I could do all that stuff, right? That'd been a good sermon. Thump somebody a bit hard. Problem when we thump people hard, friends, is we become like them. Just my thoughts, just my take on it. When I want to beat somebody up with scripture, I want to take a big step back from it and think about it a minute. Because don't we think that's why Jesus came? Don't we think that's why Jesus came? To save us, to guide us, to help us, to fill us with so much love that we don't thump each other for things that may or may not have been and are no more. Because the world changes. Think about your, and I know some, I got two little peoples right there and their world hasn't changed a lot. Except school started. How's that going? All right, two thumbs up. But for a lot of us in this room, life has changed a lot in the last decade. I'm not even going to say the last 50 years. I'm just going to say the last decade. How life has changed. Life changed in David's life. Do you see how it changed? He went from trusting God completely to breaking all 10 of the commandments. Oof, that's a big jump, right? You think? I'm looking for Jesus in all this. Every time you pick up a piece of scripture, well, I don't care what it is. If you don't read what's above it and what's below it and don't go looking for Jesus, I'm uncomfortable with that. Because are we or are we not in this building because of the Savior, Jesus the Christ, who offered himself for us? I think so. And even when we are in an uncomfortable space and time, for surely we are in history, we are. Do we or do we not, like the young David, trust God in all things? There is no way that young whippersnapper should have survived that battle. Goliath should have eaten him up and spit him out, right? Yeah. Trusting God, a God who gave us Jesus. Now, here's the funnest part of the whole deal. You're thinking, dear Lord, let there be some fun in this. Sometimes there is no fun in it. Sometimes there's just making yourself think about these uncomfortable thoughts. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, you see, I look for Jesus. Even if I'm in the Old Testament, I'm still looking for Jesus. I encourage you to try that. It's kind of fun. Sometimes you'll go, what? I can't do this because of that. Where's Jesus in that? Well, sometimes you got to look for Jesus a little hard. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus says the most powerful, the most amazing words that are yours and mine. The Father will send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you everything. These are the words of Jesus Christ, who is why we're here today, my understanding. I'm an old girl from Falcon. My understanding can be kind of shallow at times, I bet. But that's my understanding. And that advocate, that Holy Spirit, will teach you everything. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. We are troubled, and we are afraid. And I am sadly uncomfortable with that when we are. Now, I'd like to send you out here and going, woo, boy, I'm woo, woo. But this has kind of been a Debbie Downer today. I love the lectionary because it makes me speak on things I don't really want to speak on. If you know what the lectionary is, and if you don't, we're going to talk about that just a hair. I got time. I got a hair time. The lectionary is three-year cycle, ABC, ABC. We're in year B. And it has the church look at Scripture so that you get a big overview of the whole Bible. That's my tradition. I'm a lectionary preacher. And it makes us look at things sometimes that make us a little uncomfortable. But I want you to hold on to the piece that I ask you to hold on to right this moment. Looking for Jesus. Because there are people in the world who are looking for Jesus. And you're as close in this world, you're as close to that as we've got. Turn around and look at somebody and say, man, I see Jesus in you. Come on. You can hug him a little bit if you want to. We're looking for Jesus, aren't we? We're hoping that Jesus lives, the Holy Spirit indwells in us so that others will see that in a hurting world. It's an uncomfortable place to be, and I get it. And if you happen to be here and you think you're sitting alone, you're not. You're not. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and present, and all we have to do is say, come, Holy Spirit, come. I read the most wonderful thing recently. It said, if you take your hand and you put it over your heart, if you want to try it, you can. If you don't, if I freak you out, you don't have to. But maybe sometime today. It settles our hearts. And I think David must have gotten there at some point, because in Psalm 51, he asked the Lord God to create in him a new heart. If your heart's hurting today, If you've said things or heard things that have unsettled you, made you uncomfortable, know that the Holy Spirit just longs to come live in you and create in you a new heart. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we may not be leaving this place going yippee-doodle-dandy, but maybe we will. Who knows? This last song is a surprise. Maybe it will be something that speaks to us in a different way. You see, that's a great thing, God, about being in this place each Sunday. We have the possibility of encountering you and encountering things that will make us more like Jesus. Use us, Lord. Fill us. We are here today and we receive it, that we might share it for someone else who doesn't know these somewhat uncomfortable stories, that they might want to come and explore with us, live with us, so that they may live with you eternally. This prayer I lift in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.